above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all. Above all powers, above all things, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above. Rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all.
This reading this morning is from 1 Corinthians 1, verses 10 to 17. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there are no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's household, have informed me that you are quarrelling amongst you. What I mean is this: one of you say, I followed Paul, another say, I follow Apollos, and another, I follow Cephas, and still another, I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius, so no one can say that you were baptized in my name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanus. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom and elegance, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Richard. This week and next week, we'll be looking at two very key issues within the first chapter of Corinthians, the first and third chapter of Corinthians. And this week we're going to look at the cost of a divided church or divisions within the church. And following this message, we will be able to have some kind of discussion. If you have a question or an observation or something to input, if you like, within the message itself, you'll have the opportunity to do that after we sang a song later. This precious book that we have before us, and it is indeed precious, we see wise pastor and preacher Paul calling the Christians at Corinth to unite against the ever increasing pressures of the pagan life that threatened to engulf them personally, but also the church geographically. And Paul's teaching under the power of the Holy Spirit is ageless when he addresses this very important subject. It's so very relevant to the age in which we live today. With this in mind, I'd like us to begin today by looking at chapter 1 and verses 10 to 17. But before that, we're going to have a word of prayer. Let's pray. O Lord and lover of humankind, cause the pure light of your divine knowledge to shine forth in our hearts, and open the eyes of our understanding, that we may understand the truth of your gospel. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Before Paul deals with the various doctrinal problems, the teaching problems that were rampant throughout the Corinthian church, he addresses the problem that has weakened the Church of Christ for centuries, even up to these modern times. The problem of division or disharmony within not only the local church, but within very many denominational structures. And of course, our Lord Jesus prayed against this problem when he faced death on the cross as he looked towards the day of Pentecost and anticipated the awesome gospel that his disciples were to communicate, talking to his Father in John chapter 17 and verse 21, Jesus prayed that all of them may be one. Just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Paul also had the same burden on his heart when he wrote to the church at Philippi. He writes, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel. The point that Paul is making here is that nothing contradicts the Christian message that we have, the gospel, if you like, that we have, than disharmony or division within the church. It was Stephen Dray who once wrote, "A divided church is consequently a defeated church." My friends, be honest with me. How can we possibly preach a message of reconciliation when Christians cannot work together, or more importantly, cannot forgive one another? How can we proclaim the gospel of peace when peace cannot be moved forward within the local church? So in these verses, Paul confronts this head on. And in verse 9, he starts by affirming that God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful. And then, without a break, in verse 10, he continues, "I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another, so that there may be no divisions among you, or disharmony among you, and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought." Now, we cannot compare verses 9 and 10 without realizing that the same supreme contradiction of the Christian message is disharmony or division within the local church. We need to be in harmony. We need to be in harmony. But I want to share briefly with you three points that Paul shares here, which supports this sort of thought. Firstly, we notice that disharmony or division paralyzes the fellowship of the church. The fellowship of the church in verse 10. Christian fellowship, as we all know, is based on two fundamental principles: the ministry of the Word of God, and secondly, the unity of the Spirit of God. Part of the fellowship, if not all of the fellowship, are based on those two points. We meet around the Word of God, we listen to what God is saying to us, and we outwork what God is saying to us. But also, we minister in and through the power of the Holy Spirit, which brings a sense of unity. Yes, there will never ever be a time when we totally agree on every single situation. But if we live under the authority of God and the truth of God's word, and we are united together in our faith and in the working of the Holy Spirit, then that will bring fellowship within the church. A harmony within the church. You will remember that after the day of Pentecost, the early disciples in Acts 2:42 continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. And we need to recognize that there can be no true fellowship without a doctrinal basis. We need to have a doctrinal basis. We need to believe what we believe. But also, very important as well, we need to revisit what we believe as the Christian church, individually and corporately. On regular intervals, we need to sit down and think to ourselves as the church, holistically, but also individually, what do we believe? Fundamentally, what do we believe as a Christian? Because in the busyness of the world, in the busyness of our lives, sometimes we can lose focus on what is real and what is relevant for us and what really formulates our faith. And that's why we need to revisit what we believe. When we have those Sundays of commitment to what we believe, dedication Sundays, when we remember as a church what we believe and we affirm those beliefs together. So we see that if only through the truth of the Word of God that we are brought to the reconciling death of Christ, and it's only through the Spirit of God that we are brought to the unifying life of Christ. But also, disharmony of division paralyzes the fellowship of the church, and it degrades the ministry of the word. That's why Paul pleaded, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, be united in mind and thought. In other words, all speak the same thing. And division paralyzes the fellowship of the church. Because at the time of Paul's writing, there was no unity in the church. But secondly, this morning, disharmony or division publicizes the problems in the church. We see that quite plainly in verse 11. Paul writes, my brothers, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. Whether to admit it or not, there is no such thing as an insulated or isolated church. Whatever happens inside becomes known outside very, very quickly. Because I've said so many times, people listen and people notice within society in which we live. In terms of spreading the gospel, this is one of the main functions of the local church. Unfortunately, this can always also be said when there are things that we don't want to expose within the local church in our society. So as we read further in this passage, we notice that division publicizes the problems in the local church. The thing that Paul didn't want is all the different factions and isms and all the different terrible teaching that was coming into the fellowship would affect the harmony of the church and consequently affect the ministry of the church and what people would feel and how they would notice in society. But my third point I'd like to make this morning is disharmony polarizes the leadership of the church. And this is probably the biggest problem that Paul had. There were some outstanding leaders within the church at Corinth, and their anointed ministry had advanced the kingdom. But through the dissension among the members, the leadership was polarized in two ways. We witness devotion to men rather than the master. And in our passage this morning, we find that four parties had emerged within this fellowship. I follow Paul. I follow Apollos. I follow Cephas. And I follow Jesus Christ. Can you imagine the problem within the local church when all those four facets, all those four parties all emerged within the local church? Paul was underscoring the fact that Christ is the head, not only of the total church, but also of the local church. And in their heresy and blasphemy, these Corinthians had become so attracted to the messengers of the gospel that they had forgotten the message of the gospel. And Paul and his team had to come within this church to bring them all together, maybe bang their heads together and try to get some consolidation and try to change their thought patterns and their loyalty to follow Christ. I bring this message this morning because I feel that not only within local churches, not so much this one I thank God for, but within local churches, that there is a problem of communication and division and mindset, if you like, not only, as I said right at the very beginning, not only in local churches, but in bodies, governing bodies, whatever that may be, interdenominational. There needs to be harmony. There needs to be, if you like, as the old saying goes, coming together and singing from the same hymn sheet. There has to be that mind, that thought, that focus on the way forward if we are going to grow as a church. So division paralyzes the fellowship of the church. We need to be united. We need to have one faith. We need to remember what we believe and outwork what we believe. Division publicizes the problems within the church. There will always be problems within local churches, but it's how we deal with that situation. Because as we know, that what happens in the church also can be reflected in society, and that cannot be, in many ways, a good witness. But also, it polarizes the leadership of the church. Let's always look to Jesus in all we seek to do and say. Amen. We're going to have a short discussion time in a minute if you have any thoughts to contribute that. But we'll remain seated and we're going to sing, Lord, I Come to You. So as we continue the message, continue our thoughts on this subject, and then we pray God will stimulate conversation. Lord, I come to You. That's it.
Jesus, I love You.
Amen. Amen. God is good. Amen. Amen. Dear Lord, you have been with us in our worship. Be with us now in our leaving. As we go into a new week, we thank you that you go with us. With your strength, may we live out the message we have heard. And may we share your love with all whom we meet, in Christ's name and for Christ's sake. Now may God the Father be your inspiration. May God the Son be your example. And may God the Spirit be your strength, today and always. Amen. 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 Let's say the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Please stay for tea and coffee if you're able to. That'll be wonderful. We can share further there. Well done. Well done, both. Excellent. Yeah, get some more. We'll get...